Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. You can follow along if you like on page 136 of your pew Bible. Listen now for God's word to you. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had been given a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord. The word homeostasis. The word homeostasis comes from the Greek word homeos, meaning similar, and stasis, meaning standing still. Homeostasis, then, is the tendency of any system to maintain a stable, relatively constant set of properties. It's the hidden power that works behind the scenes to keep things just as they are. Now, Paul's a smart man. He was familiar with the power of homeostasis. He knew that in every religious, political, or familial system, there were forces at play that you can't necessarily see, both conscious and unconscious, that are at work through self-corrective ways to ensure that things will never change. Armed with this wisdom, Paul seemed to have a good sense about when he should pick battles, when he should challenge, and when he should lay low. And in today's passage, he first chooses the latter. He chooses to lay low. Once again, we find Paul and his companions looking for a place of prayer. As they search for a good spot, we are told, they come across this girl, this slave girl, who can see the future. She has a spirit in her that allows her to prophesy and see things. This girl's rare talent has made her a valuable commodity to the owners of her, who profit from her special gift. Now, undoubtedly, Paul's a nice guy. I'm sure he felt compassion for the girl who is enslaved not only by people, but also by the Spirit. I'm sure he felt bad for her, but for some reason, he does not use his power, initially anyway, to set her free. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a possessed girl follow me around town shouting, "This guy's a minister of Jesus Christ who proclaims the way to salvation!" and I had the power to silence her while setting her free, I'd do it quickly. But Paul doesn't. For days, he chooses not to act. And the reason is simple. He's terrified of the consequences. I love the story we heard today, not only because it has earthquakes and singing, and it's just a great story, but I love because it shows the length to which God will go to motivate us to do what needs to be done, to make the world a better place. While Paul and his companions are busy looking for a place to pray, while they're busy being religious, God has them tailed by a possessed woman. And like I said before, for days, Paul and his companions ignore her for a while. But eventually, they can ignore her no longer. In the end, if you notice the passage, it says, Paul, very much annoyed, not just annoyed, not much annoyed, but very much annoyed, does what needs to be done. It is Paul's annoyance in the end, and not his compassion or his mercy or his love. It's his annoyance at her screaming that finally motivates him to do what needs to be done. "I order you," he says, "in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And the Spirit came out in that very hour. So, curious, what annoys you? What things get under your skin and gnaw at you? Is it ignorant people who say stupid things? That's mine. Maybe you're bothered by politicians and all their posturing. Maybe you're annoyed by those people that seem glued to their smartphones. One second. Or folks who seem to have no sense at all. You know who I'm talking about. You see them. We all have something, someone, more likely, that annoys us. Hopefully you don't live with that person. But we all have something that gets under our skin. Well, what if that burr in your saddle was put there by God? If you are anything like Paul and Silas, and you are more than you think, you will hesitate to act upon a persistent frustration because it's a lot easier to be annoyed at someone than it is to do something about it. Annoyance is kind of fun, actually. It's easy to judge. It's easy to judge a person in poverty or to shake your head at that kid staring at their cell phone or to label the murderer as evil. It's a lot easier and a lot safer to be annoyed or frustrated by someone than it is to engage in the systems of injustice that create the annoyance. Paul hesitated to free that girl from her demon because he knew when he did it, the system that exploited her for money would push back. I mean, you'd think the town would be happy, right? A demon girl is saved. Yippee! But no, they're ticked off. The owners of the slave girl have lost their income stream. The town lost a tourist attraction. This is the only thing they had going. And Paul got rid of it. The system pushed back. Homeostasis had been disrupted. And we know that's how it works. when we advocate for the poor and their needs, when we work on women's issues, or when we challenge the culture of dependency that paralyzes so many people trapped in poverty, when we advocate for a nonviolent response to injustice, the systems of this world will push back. That's just what they do when you disrupt the status quo. Now, if you engage the systems of this world that do bad things, are you going to be beaten and thrown in prison? Probably not. But it could happen. There will be resistance. In the early morning hours on January 10, 1966, Sam Bowers, who was then the Imperial Wizard of the White Knights to the Ku Klux Klan, drove out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, to the house of a man named Vernon Dahmer. While Dahmer and his family slept, Klansmen doused their house with gasoline and set it on fire, destroying it and the adjoining grocery store. Dahmer's 10-year-old daughter was injured in the fire. Dahmer himself lived for a few hours, but he died later that day. And why did the Klansmen burn his house to the ground? What was his crime against humanity? Dahmer had bravely allowed black people to pay their poll tax at his store. In August of 1998, Sam Bowers was finally convicted after four mistrials of the vicious murder committed three decades before. One of the people present in the courthouse for Bowers' 1998 trial was the Reverend Will Campbell. Campbell was a maverick Baptist preacher who played a key role in the civil rights movement in the South. When the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was established, Reverend Campbell was the only white person present. Later, he had bravely walked with the black students who first integrated Central High School in Little Rock as they made their way through an angry mob. And when he was a chaplain at University of Mississippi, he had known Vernon Dahmer and had worked closely with him on voting rights issues. Campbell was assumed to be at the trial in 1998 to grieve the long-ago death of his friend Vernon Dahmer, which is why courtroom reporters were shocked to see Campbell being embraced as an old friend, not only by Ellie Dahmer, Vernon's widow, but also by the defendant, Klansman Sam Bowers. He gave them both a hug, a big embrace. When one of the reporters covering the trial asked Campbell how he could possibly be so friendly with both the victim and the vicious monster who had committed the murder, the ever salty tongued Campbell replied, "Because, damn it, I'm a Christian." The status quo of our world is simply no good. The homeostasis we've settled for, it feels like peace, but it ain't peace. The balance of things need to be disrupted. The systems of this world need to be changed. The world needs people who are willing to disturb the peace. As followers of the one who came to set everyone free, we ought to be annoyed enough with the way things are to do just that. The trouble is, we tend to get annoyed with people. We get annoyed with individuals. We get angry at criminals and psychopaths and the mentally ill, when what we need to be annoyed with are all the systems and powers that exploit, manipulate, and enslave all people. We can lock up and execute every criminal. We can vote out of office every corrupt politician and then vote them back in. We can cut off every lost soul that bugs us or doesn't think as we do. And the world we've created is going to keep producing more. Our battle is not against possessed people. It's against the unholy, unjust systems of this world that both create them and then exploit them. At a commencement address to graduates at Kenyon College in 2005, writer David Foster Wallace opened his now famous address to the students with this simple story. "Two young fish are swimming along," he said, "when they happen to meet an older fish swimming the other way. The older fish looks at the two fish and says, 'Good morning, boys. How's the water?' The two younger fish swim on for a bit until one turns to the other and says, "What the hell is water?" David Wallace goes on to say to a room full of soon-to-be adults that there are whole parts of American adult life that no one talks about. And one such realm that no one talks about is the one that is defined by boredom, routine, and petty frustration. An average adult day, let's be honest, it's a grind, he tells them. You get up early, you go to work, you put in your hours, all while looking forward to the time at home when you can have a meal and watch maybe 45 minutes of a show in quiet. Then while you're at work thinking about the show and dinner, you realize you have no food for dinner, so you have to leave work at 5 p.m. when everybody else is leaving work at 5 p.m., tired and frustrated and hungry, and make your way through traffic behind people who frankly cannot drive 77, left lane fast, right lane slow. And you're annoyed. You get to Giant Eagle or Acme or Earth Fair or whatever, you get in there, and then you can't find stuff. They put the mustard and the mayonnaise in separate aisles. Why, you don't know. But you finally get everything, bumping into people, screaming kids, probably yours, and then you get to the checkout line. And is it just me, or at 5 p.m., every checkout line should be full? But they're not, right? There's one person manning one checkout line, and she's incredibly slow. As you sit there waiting, tired and hungry, you start to get annoyed at everybody around you. The checkout lady, the person behind you is chomping her gum, the kid in front of you playing the video game, the guy on the loudspeaker trying to be funny. He's not funny. He's telling these students this, painting a picture. And then he says this, "It is these petty frustrations that are caused by all the annoying things and people we deal with every day where the work of choosing comes in. Because traffic jams, long checkout lines, loud annoying children, and crowded aisles strangely give us time to think. If we don't make a conscious decision about how we're going to think and what we're going to pay attention to, we're going to be frustrated most of the time. Because our natural default setting is to think it's all about who? Me. My hunger, my fatigue, my problems, my desire to get home. When you let little annoyances eat at you day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, it's going to feel like everyone else is in your way. Well, fortunately, we have a choice. The antidote to our default setting of being annoyed by people is our willingness to choose to have compassion for them rather than the isolation of putting our goals and our interests and our concerns ahead of theirs. If we only ever notice the other fish in the water and never take time to think about how the water is, we will knowingly, unknowingly support the cycles of injustice that plague our world. We're all tired. We're all bothered. We're all frustrated with the way things are. And if we let those annoyances spur us together into an honest and courageous critique of the systems of this world that exploit, enslave, and destroy, we will do something amazing. If we let ourselves see things from that perspective, we will join in God's grand plan of setting everyone free. Did you notice in the story today? Did you notice what happened by the end of the story? Everybody's chains are unfastened. Everyone in the story by its end is set free. The girl is set free from her evil spirit. The slave owners are freed from exploitation. Paul and his friends are freed from prison. And the jailer and his family are freed from a crazy loyalty to Caesar in Rome. By the end of the story, everyone's chains are unfastened. Everyone is free. All because Paul was annoyed enough to do what needed to be done. So I'll ask you again, what annoys you? I mean, what really annoys you? And more importantly, what are you and God going to do about it? Amen.